Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my wonderful husband and co-host, David Garcia.
What's up?
So, let's get into updates. What's new with you?
New? Nothing. This Saturday is going to be the start of the Trailblazers running group. So I'm excited about that. We have about 50 people that signed up, which is pretty crazy.
You need to cap it.
No,
there's
no way.
That's insane.
There's no way. So 50 people, which is really awesome. 60% of the people are brand spanking new
runners.
And so I'm just excited to meet everybody, to be on this 10-week journey. And I really hope that a good chunk of them leave motivated, that they leave believing that they could do things that they thought they couldn't do. I hope that me and Nancy can help in any way possible. So it's going to be great. In regards to my running, everything's been going pretty smooth so far. The ankle's still not 100%. Actually, I haven't gotten the results from the MRI, but I guess tomorrow would be 5 business days. I don't know, but I'm running on it. I have 74 days left until my first marathon. And so I started a series on social media, and I'm just going to go day by day. Like, hey, this is day 73, 72, 71, and just count it down.
That's a good idea.
And hopefully people follow along with the journey. And then me and you have been reading the book of John, which has been pretty good. We're both sharing our notes, which is awesome. It's kind of hard to read your notes sometimes because you take pictures of it.
Well, you can get the physical copy anytime, babe.
Yeah. but yeah, I really like doing, like, I guess somewhat of like deep dives into these books. And it's like every time that you read it, you might get something new. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I've just been asking God to speak to me through the text. And other than that, I think that's it. How about you?
I've been continuing my exercising, which I'm so grateful for, because I feel like in the beginning...
The people want to know, how's the nutrition going?
Nobody wants to know.
I've had like 50 people text me like, hey, how's Grace's nutrition going?
Nobody wants to know. It's going. I went back to my meal prepping for my lunches, so that for sure I get like, I forget how many protein... and then I asked my friend, shout out Samara, to make me protein cookies. Mm. And it's not like perfect, but I'm being conscious about it.
Okay.
How do you feel about my nutrition?
I feel like you went hard for like 2 days and then let go of the reins.
And when I did eat fast food, I asked ChatGPT what was the best combination. And so I got a double protein style burger with no cheese. I've been more conscious about it. But what I was saying was that I'm proud of myself because since I started taking my exercise seriously, like, I haven't missed a day. Mm-hmm. And so that feels awesome that I can work out in the afternoons, which for me, I always said, like, I'd rather be up early and just get it out of the way, because every time when we came to the afternoon, I'd like drag my feet.
Yeah.
And I just got into the mindset, which is like, this is something I do. Like, I just have to do it. Yesterday, I did not feel like working out at all. Like, at all. Mm. I was thinking, like, should I cancel my physical therapist? Say I'm sick? Like, and I was just like, no, Grace, you just have to do it. And after, you're super proud that you continued. And so I feel like it's slowly becoming a lifestyle, which...
That's awesome.
I'm grateful for.
That's awesome.
And Pilates, I feel stronger. And yeah, it's been awesome. And then, same thing, I have 75 days until my half
74.
Marathon. 74 days until my half marathon. And David and I have decided that if I run at an 11:30-minute pace, mm-hmm. and David runs...
If I run, because here's how it goes. The full marathon starts at 5:30. The half marathon starts at 7. So if she were to run her race at an average pace of 11:30... she'll finish around 9:30. And if I run my race at around a 9-minute mile, I should be finishing my race at around 9:30. So if the stars perfectly align, we could potentially be crossing the line together.
That would be awesome. And so that's my goal, to get to an 11:30, which I feel like it's totally doable with 75 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that would be awesome. So I think that's it. I finished another prayer journal. I think this is like, what, my third or fourth?
That's awesome.
And same thing, I've been liking reading John with you and sharing notes. And
All right. Sorry. I have to ask. This is going to possibly make this little segment a little bit longer, but... with this last journal, what is one thing that has stood out? The one thing that you can remember that really like popped out of this one journal? I feel like after every journal that you finish, I'm going to ask you like, what's one thing that you for sure just like popped out? You'll never forget this about this one journal.
For me, it's just been this past like 2-3 experiences that I've had where I've been like praying for something so clearly, and then like I hear the Holy Spirit, like there's no one denying that it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, what stood out, like I was praying again, I feel like my flesh didn't really care about the no women's retreat, and I was like, I'm gonna pray for it because I want to pray for my leaders, for my church, like I want to pray for it. And so I would pray for it, and then again we talked about in the Shame podcast like that amazing event that happened. And I just think with the journal, so like specific things like that, like specific things I pray for and that God answers and the Holy Spirit answers. And I heard someone mention it where, and I think I've said it before, but it's like when you're in a room and you're going to be in a party, there's a lot of people discussing, having small talk. But if your husband says like your name, like Grace, like I could hear like, oh, that's my husband. Like mm-hmm. I can pinpoint your voice in a crowd. And in that same way, like we have so many voices. Sometimes we think it's like our conscious, we think it's like, it could be the enemy or social media, like whatever ideas in our head. And so people are like, how do you know if it's God's voice or the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And it's like, as you just are more into the word, as you are spending time in prayer, I feel like it's becoming clearer. And so I think with this last journal, it's just been becoming more clear. And I see like how the prayers I'm asking and like the quiet time I'm spending, how I can see that translate in my real life, which has been pretty, pretty crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's been, ever since I started, I think that's truly like what has kept me being more consistent with other things in life and has just made me a happier person, even in my like career, my professional career. So highly, highly recommend you guys to actually take your spiritual life or your religion, whatever you think, like call it, like take it serious. I think mm-hmm. it truly matters. And yeah, I've been back in the class talking about my career. I've been back in the classroom trying to get it ready so that I don't stress out when it's, because we get 2 days before, which is nothing. But
yeah. Nice.
That's my update. And another update is that when this gets posted, it's always posted on Monday mornings. It's going to be July 28th. And our anniversary, our wedding anniversary, is Tuesday, July 29th.
Yep.
And we will be 9 years married.
9 whole years.
And again, that's 9 years married. We've been dating and engaged for a little longer, but that's pretty wild. I feel like it doesn't feel like 9, but at the same time, I'm like, wait, it's just been 9,
mm-hmm.
you know, like this weird thing. And I wanted, keeping that in mind, I wanted to talk about like woman and man roles in like a marriage.
Okay.
So that's, cool. That's what we're talking about today.
People will enjoy this.
Yeah. Cause there, well, I'll get to it later, but I hope that if you've been watching us for some time, you know that we try our, like we give our opinions, we give stories, anecdotes of our life, share things that maybe we've heard of that inspired us, but we try to come from a biblical like point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, okay, what is a man and a woman's role in a marriage? Again, it might be some of our opinions or stories and things like that, but we try to go to the Bible. What does the Bible say about a man and a woman's role in marriage and things like that?
Okay.
And so that's when we're saying that, that's from a biblical perspective you're going to be hearing. So what do you think the role of a, I don't know if you want to talk about the woman or a man or both, is?
Whatever you want to start with.
Okay. Take it away.
No, whatever you want to start with.
You want me to give the role?
I don't know. You have to like ask question to like.
Well, I'm saying, what do you think the role of a woman or a man is in a marriage?
Well, I said before in one of our episodes that I give the example of when a man proposes marriage to a woman, he's basically saying like, I want you to be my helper. Mm. And when a woman accepts, she's saying between the lines, I trust you to be my leader. And so I think at the very base of it all, it's that a man should be a leader and a woman should be a helper.
That's good. That's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And even in the proposal action, if we think about it, the man, we're saying, right, he's the leader, mm-hmm. but he is on his knees in a, I guess, lowlier position than the woman.
Oh, that's yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like he does not have the advantage of height in that scenario. And it's crazy that a biblical model of leadership, like Jesus, the ultimate one that we should follow and should lead us, shows time and time again what it is to be a servant mm-hmm. leader.
Yes.
And would wash even like the disciples' feet. And we've been reading that in John as well. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that he's kneeling down, like serving, it's kind of like serving his...
I think it's an act of humility.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know if you could paste this verse on there, but it's basically like the first should be last, the last should be first. Mm. Like you have Jesus saying, I came here to serve and not be served. Like there's this, I truly believe that if you're aligned with God, there is a pretty high level of humility and humbleness in you. Mm. And so for a man as a leader, to propose to his future wife on his knees is an act of humility. Yeah. Like, although I am the leader, I will show you that I am not above serving you. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've talked about that as well. Like, leaders who think that they can eventually outgrow, like, serve, like being a having a servant heart.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a good little analogy.
I think it's even a vulnerable position. Well, because he's asking a question on his knees where the woman can easily say like, no. And then mm-hmm. you feel dumb being on your knees. Like, what the heck?
Not just dumb, but you feel hurt, broken, rejected. Like, yeah, it is a very vulnerable state.
Did you think about that when you were proposing or no?
No. You were just... I'm like, this is the norm. I'm just going to get on one knee and just propose marriage to...
I'd love to see... Like if there's history behind it, like why, who started that or why? But I think it's such a beautiful, again, image of, okay, this is what marriage looks like. Mm. That's the first step, you know?
Yeah.
And so we agree then that the man is supposed to serve. He has that duty if he's a good husband to serve his wife, right?
Yes.
And you said how the woman... When the man asks the woman to get married, it's like, are you willing to be my helper? Right? Mm-hmm. Which in Genesis, it says that God is going to make a suitable helper for Adam. And a lot of people like downplay like, oh, you're my helper. In Spanish, I like ayuda idónea. And it just seems like, oh, you're my helper. Like, I can't do this. Can you help me? And that... The first time I heard it, I thought, like, this is amazing. It's, I think I was in college, and it was saying how in Hebrew that word helper is like Ezer, E-Z-E-R. And it doesn't mean how we imagine helper to be. Every time Ezer is used in the Old Testament, like for in Isaiah and Ezekiel, it's the Israelites are in war. So they're in a vulnerable position. It's things are looking very difficult, and they're asking God for help. And so that help, it's not just like, oh, can you help me do chores? Can you help me cook, make me a sandwich? It's like, I am in dire need. Like, I need your help. I need your assistance, or something bad's going to happen. And so we see it again, kind of, and then in the New Testament, kind of alludes to the Holy Spirit, like how the Holy Spirit is our helper mm-hmm. and our guider. So I feel like so many people have tried to downplay woman's helping role when, you know, it's like the man is not like, oh, you're my helper. You're cool. Like if I have you, it's like a nice bonus. It's like, no, I need you to be by my side, like helping me this. Like I can't do this journey on my own, mm-hmm. Which I think is a beautiful role for a woman to have. It more meaningful than I feel like what the world tries to label the woman as.
Yeah. If we were created in the image of God and we were created man and woman, it's crazy to think, but I think there was a piece of him that went into women and a piece of him that mm-hmm. went into men.
For sure.
And I think that also goes together with the whole helper thing. Like there's obviously things that men have that women don't have and vice versa.
Yeah.
But when they come to become one, like they just become a complete image of God, I think. Mm. And where I see that come to life and with my own like experiences is like, how many times have you helped me by kicking me in the butt and being like, hey, like in between that, the what you're trying to say with kicking me in the butt, obviously she doesn't do it literally, but just like, hey, like stop being comfortable, like go out. I hear the words, I believe in you. You're meant for more, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this a couple of times before, and I just feel like it should be reiterated. Like part of, I believe that part of the help of a woman, men, some of the men can't handle or don't like it, which mm-hmm. is, and it becomes an issue of communication as well. But how many times does a woman, quote unquote, nag her husband and be like, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And mm-hmm. the men, like, for whatever reason, you know, they're stuck in their place. They're comfortable. They're scared to be uncomfortable. They're scared to take that leap of faith. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to communicate fear. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know or don't want to go into the unknown. And so it becomes a fight. And it becomes this, oh, you keep nagging me. And he's fighting to stay where he's at. Mm-hmm. And the woman's fighting to get him out of the place that he, like, she sees that he's in a rut. And she's trying to push him. And the only way that she knows how to push him, and you've talked about this before, there's other ways to motivate a man. You've talked about using sexuality as a motivation.
Our femininity.
Sorry. Like,
that's not bad. No, but that's why we're married and we have tools.
Yeah. but part of a woman being a helper, I think, is that. Mm. Like, I see things that you don't see. And when I see these things that I clearly see that you don't see, I'm going to call it out.
Yeah.
And I think men lose the sight of, I asked for this woman to be my helper. Or maybe some of them, men didn't even like think about that when they proposed marriage to this woman. But if you're hearing this now, you should be thinking about this. You proposed marriage to this woman. And in doing that, you were saying, I want you to be my helper. Mm-hmm. I trust you to be my helper. I trust you for us to be better together than we are apart. I trust that you're going to see things in me and you're going to call it out and you're going to help me go forward. As the leader, you're going to help me. And that's how you're going to help this whole mm-hmm. family together. Like there's only, and let's be honest, especially nowadays, like it's men sometimes really get stuck in a rut and it's comfortability. It's, I just stated it right now. It's comfortability. It's fear. It's not going into the unknown. It's the, I never had a father to teach me how to do these things, so I'm going to stay here. Like it could be various things. And the mm-hmm. woman's over there, like maybe they saw in their father that he had initiative or he had drive or, you know, he wanted to go do great things or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of times she sees things that the guy doesn't see. And like, we need to just accept it, really. Mm. Accept that sometimes we men get stuck and we don't want to move, but we need to, like, if our wife is quote unquote nagging us, like read between the lines. Again, it could be a communication issue. Maybe you guys need some sort of counseling to be able to help communicate better. Because that's one thing that me and you went through and we learned how to communicate better. Like a lot of times I would communicate anger and really it wasn't anger, it was fear or it was hurt or whatever. But for men, the go-to response usually for everything is anger. But yeah, point being, the women are there to help. And a lot of times the help that a man needs, they don't know how to accept.
Or they, yeah, misconstrue as like nagging or complaining, which as you were giving all those examples or like talking about the importance, it reminded me kind of again, like the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit's there to guide us. Right. And I feel like people can hear the Holy Spirit and people can feel like shame or they can get convicted. And I think similarly, like when a man hears a woman, they can either get shame or feel convicted, like this is something I have to move. And it's like, how are you going to listen to this voice that is there trying to help you, is trying to guide you? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying like women, we are the Holy Spirit. Like there's certain things that you have to know as a woman, when to surrender this to God and when you are at your wit's end and you're like, I kind of said the same thing, when you're going to surrender to God or when you feel like, okay, this is my time to ask or remind him or but help him.
That is another thing as well. Just as a man could get stuck in a rut in regards to like, I'm not moving from here. Mm-hmm. A woman could do that same thing, but in regards to the communicating part. Mm. She could get stuck of like, I don't know any other way. So I'm just going to keep like, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Wow. Mm. So-and-so would have done it or whatever. So-and-so did it or whatever. My dad would have done it or whatever. Just any way, like, a lot of times it becomes toxic.
Yeah.
It becomes like, I'm going to guilt you. I'm going to make you feel bad. And hopefully that making you feel bad will drive you to want to get out of that place that you're in. But mm-hmm. Really what a man really always wants is respect from his wife. And so you disrespecting him is not going to make him want to do anything more. Yeah. If anything, it's going to make him resent. And it goes into this ugly cycle. And so just as a man can be stuck in a rut, a woman might get stuck in a rut of in regards to how she communicates. Mm. And it is very important for her. I do agree. There are some times that a woman may like think about it and be like, you know what? I'm going about this the wrong way. And a lot of times that could be the Holy Spirit like finally stopping her and be like, that's not the way. Mm. There's going to be a different way. It's going to feel really weird to you because you're so used to doing this way right here, but I'm going to ask you to do this other way. That's really going to motivate him. Again, it's going to feel weird to you. And just as you are asking him to come out of his comfort zone,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you as his helper to get out of your comfort zone first, right? Mm. You might try something new and it might work. If it doesn't, if you truly feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding you and is changing you through this process and you're trying new things and then like it's just not working, I think that's at the point where you're like, listen, like I myself as a woman became vulnerable. I tried something that I would have never tried. Mm-hmm. I tried it. It did not work. I will leave it into the hands of God.
Yeah. And just how God and the Holy Spirit communicate with us in different ways, like through worship, through your own intimate prayer time, through a pastor, through community, through the pulpit, through a book, maybe through a movie. Like there, you can't put him in a box. I think same thing. It's we have to be creative, like use all the tools God has given us. I said like your femininity, try asking him after you have sex, like when he's happier, more calm. But then if you do that a lot, he's like, wow, she's only having sex for me because she keeps asking me for something. So then you have to do it where you tell him, hey, let's have this, like, sit down, straightforward, like this is in my mind. Through different tactics, through prayer, through therapy, maybe you know, okay, I don't know how to do this, so let me bring, a third person. Like there's so many ways. Reading books, we would read books, and I didn't even have to say anything because you got the parts that I wanted to highlight. Like you got out of it on your own. And so there's so many different ways where you can kind of guide your husband without you like pulling him by the ear and treating him as a child.
And then what is very important though is, I guess some would call it the power dynamic, mm. right? Because some helpers turn into manipulators. Mm. And so you're kind of like the everything that you described yeah. is correct, but it also has a fine line. Because if a woman goes, oh, well, if I want him to do a certain thing, I'll just have sex with him. And now yeah. sex becomes this
means.
Yeah, this means, this transaction, this is how I'm going to get what I want. And the helper now goes, okay, now if I want him to go like make more money or whatever for me or whatever, I'm going to go do this or that. And then it becomes like this woman being like a puppeteer, really. Mm. And the man is just dancing and dancing and dancing, like however. And that's where there is a power shift.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowing that man to lead anymore. You are now controlling that man. Now, whether that man concedes to that control or not is like this whole other thing.
Yeah.
But I think some women might fall into that category of, oh, like I figured out the code. Mm. And they get lost. I feel like sometimes they get lost in the power. I feel like one time it went well and they go, oh, I like the taste of this.
Yeah.
A, I like what I did. It was something new. B, he did exactly what I knew that he could do. And now I'm going to try it with other things. Where maybe necessarily you don't really, it's more for your benefit than it is for the benefit of the whole family.
Possibly. But I feel like the most women that I talk to, they are turned on or they want to see their man lead. And they get frustrated.
And now we are going into a very interesting topic. Go ahead.
And maybe a lot of them say like, I want them to lead. And then again, they're gung up on, they don't know how to guide. And so they end up leading themselves. And they're like, why doesn't my mom not lead? And it's like, you haven't relinquished the authority. Like, what are you talking about? But it all goes back to everything. Even the Bible, it all goes back to intention of the heart. Where it's like, okay, are you doing this for his growth? For how you said, the betterment of the family? Are you doing this to truly help? Or are you doing this so that you can elevate yourself and you can be the leader of the house and take on his role, right?
I think my question worth $1 million to you is...
worth $1 million.
What does it look like? What is the definition of a woman following a man?
Like submission, like true submission?
Sure.
Sorry, let me just fix my mic because I keep tapping into it. I think...
she's getting nervous.
No, it's because I kept going like this and I was like, I can't really move. A woman submitting a man.
To a man.
To a man. Mm-hmm. To her husband.
She already started off wrong. Dang.
You're making me nervous.
You're trying to submit your man.
Submitting to her man. It's... which God, Jesus tells us how we can see that. It's how, again, the bride with the groom is the woman, in this case, is like the church, right? And Jesus is the groom. And so I think it's taking, because Jesus kind of came to earth and he said, my kingdom, this is what it looks like. And he gave us like blueprints or like what the culture is, right? He says, here in this life, like the rich benefit. Well, the kingdom, I'm saying the kingdom of God is going to be for the poor. And all of his preachings were like this countercultural, like turn it upside down, right? Mm-hmm. But he came and he established kind of like a blueprint, like this is what the kingdom is. And the church's role, I believe, is to, where it says the kingdom of God is here, but not yet. It's to cultivate Jesus's vision, is to cultivate his kingdom. And so in that same way, I feel like the man should be the visionary, should be, this is where I see our family going. Mm-hmm. This is, as a leader, this is where I'm guiding us to, right? And the woman's role, same thing as the church. It's like, okay, I see where you're guiding us to. Like, I see the vision. I agree with the vision. It's not, the woman in submitting is not saying like, you don't know what the vision is. Let me be the one who's, this is where I think our family should go. So that's why I feel like also, like a side note or parentheses, it's so important that you marry a man who you align with your faith, because he's the one guiding you. And you can't say like, oh, he's not Christian, but he's the leader. It's like, where are you going? Mm-hmm. That's where you're trying to put yourself as a leader, right? And so in submitting, it's like, I see where you want us to go as a family. I see your vision. I see your morals and I agree with it. And so now my job is to help you get there. Like where I see like, hey, you said you wanted to do this, but I feel like what you're doing or maybe your habits or your actions kind of doesn't even align to that, or it's getting us off the rails. Like, that's not the qualities that you are speaking, you see yourself or you see this family in. So let me help us in tweaking that so that we can actually go the direction you're heading, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Do you agree or no?
So what does it look like for a woman to follow a man? Because right now you painted a very generic, like, overview of a man needs vision and a woman needs to follow that vision and believe in that vision.
So but the I'm practical, saying in, what does it look like to put your vision into?
Yes, because what you said was a very church way of saying, oh, like, just follow your man, you know, he just needs some vision and, you know, you help him along the way. Okay, cool. But practically, every day, in everyday life, what does that look like?
Well, in the beginning, like, let's say dating or engaged, or even when you're first newlywed, it's asking your husband, what are your dreams in life? What is your vision? What are your aspirations? Where do you see our family, right? And once he's given you that, how I said, I feel like practically is, in our case, right, like, going to church is important for us. It's being in ministry, serving, because you say that's important for us. It's doing, in our case, we have a goal as a family, right? Of, like, getting out of debt. I feel like you put the, your vision is we want to get out of debt. And me, it's like, how can I support that? And I'm in line in that. I'm not going to go against the contrary. And so me saying I don't agree with you would be, that's an example of how not to do it. But practically is like, okay, this is the plan and I'm abiding to your plan. Yes?
Okay.
That's what submission looks like. Is saying, okay, you have this plan for our family and I agree to it. You don't think so?
Let me figure out how to say this. I think, What do I think? Where is it then that you feel that the crack comes into a marriage where the whole dynamic of roles, because we've established that the man is a leader, mm-hmm. woman is a helper.
Correct.
Where do you feel like that starts crumbling in a marriage when the power dynamic shifts? Like, what is it? Is it you messed up from the get-go? You married somebody that didn't have any vision, and now you're complaining that he has no vision? Is it he said he was going to do something, he didn't do it, so now I don't trust him? Is it I heard his vision, I really thought he was going to have more as we got married, but he didn't have more, and now, again, I don't trust him, and now I'm going to take matters into my own hand? Is it he messed up once, I'll never trust him again? Like, what is it that makes that whole dynamic crumble?
In every marriage, I believe it can be different how the examples you gave, but I believe the most, like, common, or maybe like a thread with all of those, is because a woman, I do believe, in this earth, God, and I've said this before, and I truly believe it, God gives us kind of like the opposite traits that we need to learn. Because it's not, earth is not like you have all the characteristics, like, you're perfect, now just live this perfect life. It's like, you need to learn, you need to grow. I'm getting you ready for your home, for heaven, for holiness. And so this is where you develop that and you are like training ground, right? I do think women, we're natural, like, it's easy for us to take the reins and lead. It's easy for us to make decisions. It's easy for us to say, this is what I want. It's easy for us to move pieces. Like, I feel like women make great leaders. And so I think where you say, like, where it cracks, where it shifts the dynamic, is where there's no humility in the woman. And it's saying, like, I'm just a good leader, so I'm going to take it. And I'm just going to do it. It's easier for me just to do it. And they start operating as a leader. There's many times where I want to, and I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to do it. Or I don't need him or all this stuff. And it's pride. Mm-hmm. It's saying, God, I know I'm not called to be the leader, but I want to. It's easier. Like, this is what I want to do. but it's surrendering it and saying like, this might be the easier path, right? Like the most wide path, the path that everyone follows through, but it's not the path that you called me. So I'm going to be humble. And even though I might be a better leader, which is all, it's probably won't be, I'm going to surrender. And it's like what Jesus, right? I'm going to surrender and be like, this isn't my role.
Why do you think God called men to be leaders and not women? Because you said something interesting where, a woman might be a better leader, but you still have to submit. And that might have plucked some chords right now with maybe more like empowered women saying, why can't a woman be a leader? Why shouldn't she?
I think it shows, and I truly believe marriage, and you said it, right? Where how man and woman, we're both created in the image of God. We're both equal. Like we're not saying, and I don't want people to say, is like men are here and women are here.
Mm-hmm.
Which if you're listening to it, I'm saying like men are higher and women are lower. We're equal on the same playing field. We were both created by God. And you say some of God's attributes, his nurturing attributes, where it says like he's like a hen and gathering his chicks under his breasts. Like we have that.
Mm-hmm.
And some men attributes, like a roaring lion, like protective, like men have that. Both godly attributes, both super duper important. And God created man and a woman in image. And it says later on in Ephesians where Jesus and the bride, it's, I truly believe if you're thinking about it from a biblical standpoint, it's to show the gospel. And so if we look at it, that marriage was created to show the gospel, then it's this countercultural thing which Jesus has been proclaiming from the beginning. And so he himself said, I am here to serve, where it's like, Jesus, you're a natural leader. You're a king. You're a warrior king. You're supposed to come take down the Roman Empire. This is easy for you to do. You can do it in a snap of a finger. Or like with the Satan and Jesus' temptation. Why don't you just throw off yourself and have the angels catch you? Why can't you just tell this stone to turn into bread? Like, it's easy for you. It's not about doing what's easy. It's about doing what's like holy and what God has called you to do and like surrender to his will. And so I feel like, again, we're here to learn. And in the same way where people love highlighting and emphasizing a woman's role about submitting, where the Bible also says that the man needs to love his woman like Jesus loved, which is to the point of death. But how Jesus loved was also through humility, through surrendering. It was through vulnerability. It's not easy for men to be vulnerable. And they're God is asking, and the Bible models this like type of love where it's like, okay, man, it might not be easy for you to want to be vulnerable. It's not the most obvious, I guess, like characteristic, but it's something you need to practice. And again, I think that's what we're called. It's like to grow, to be more like Christ, and to take out those features that maybe we lack. You don't seem convinced.
I feel like that was a very like political answer.
What do you mean political answer?
What would you say to a woman that is a good leader, but you are also telling her to submit to her man?
I think lead in what it looks like to be humble. The Bible, there's an example where it says, I think it's Paul who says, if your man is not a believer, it doesn't say, tell him. It doesn't say, take him to church and like have a witness there and explain why it's important to be a believer. It says, don't talk, show it by your actions. And so lead through what you do. You lead through the way you want him to be, if that makes sense. And every time I get frustrated where I'm like, David's not doing this, David's not doing that, I'm like, I immediately like catch myself and I'm like, that's hypocritical of me. Like, am I doing what I expect him to do? And if not, it's like, then I have to lead in example. That's the type of leader a woman should be. Leading through example.
Hmm. So you're breaking the mold of, because I guess there's a thought maybe that A leader is somebody who's up front. A leader is somebody who's calling the shots. A leader is the one dictating where everyone's going. And what you're saying is, no, not necessarily. You are called to serve and you're called to help. And so be a leader in that. Mm-hmm. Be a leader in humility. Which, yeah, I would agree. Breaking the mold of that thought of like leader means only this area or this thing.
Yeah, because so many women, I feel like when they complain about their men, you can take that complaint and be like, are you doing it? And many of them aren't. Mm-hmm. Like they want to see something in their husbands, which they themselves struggle with. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's being hypocritical. Like lead in modeling that for your husband. Because I have a feeling when you become that woman yourself, he'll see that and he'll get inspired and be like, oh, I can't be left behind. Like I'm lacking. It'll be like convicting to him. But a lot of women just think, again, it's just like being docile, like not saying anything. It's like, no, you're doing something, like you're helping. But it doesn't look like what maybe we imagined it or what the world makes it seem.
All right. In the roles of man being leader and woman being helper / follower, my question to you now is, should a woman that is married to a man follow him wherever he goes and with whatever he says? Mm-mm. What's the line? What's the boundary?
I think the boundary is sin.
Okay.
So if a man is telling you to, I don't know, like do a threesome or like something that you know is evil, mm-hmm. that's not your like role to be like, okay, he's God, he's my head, I can't do anything.
And at that point, if a woman does not agree, and let's say like, let's make it black and white. It goes completely against the Bible. Mm-hmm. She doesn't agree. What should she do?
She should tell him no because, and then give her reasons, not shame him or like throw the stone, but just say, this is why. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to follow that, okay. Like you're still meant to respect him and you're still meant to love him, but you're saying, no, this is my boundary. And this is.
Okay. And what if it is in the confines of the Bible? Like what if he's saying, hey, this is what I want to do financially, this is what I want to do health wise this is what I want to do with our kids, this is what I want to do with our family. Mm-hmm. Should she follow that blindly, or how does that dynamic work?
No, I think part of you being the helper is having this discussion on the table and asking questions and saying, okay, like why? All right, this is what I think, like listening to each other out. I don't think it's just this like, you do this.
So you don't think, okay, so let's say, let's put our example. Mm-hmm. I say, babe, we need to only eat healthy food, you and the kids. It's very important for yourself because we know that you did that, the cancer test, and it came back that you were positive XYZ amount. And then we have our kids. Mm. We want them to be healthy. I want to be healthy. And then we have the discussion, right? Mm. How should that discussion go? Because you could, as a wife, sit there and be like, well, I like In-N-Out. Can I have it like once a week? Mm. And what if the man's like, no, like I want us to be 100% healthy, 100% organic and blah, 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 blah. Like maybe he's extreme. But he has this vision, right? Mm-hmm. He has this desire. It's biblical. Take care of your temple. Mm-hmm. Like, take care of your children. Take care of your family. Like, there's nothing wrong with what he's saying. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and especially nowadays, you could easily twist that and be like, oh, he's being too radical and that's what the problem is. Mm-hmm. But in reality, maybe, I mean, him and God know his heart. He could be like, no, like, I just want us all to be healthy.
Yeah.
How do you see, how does that dynamic of leader and helper roles go? Uh-huh.
I think as the helper, you should obviously want to help your family head in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in our case, right? Like, I was like, okay, why don't we get Whole Foods? Like, let's stop getting groceries. Let's do Whole Foods. All right, like, these are the meals that we can prep. Things like that, right? And then in the perspective, again, God calls the husband to be like Jesus, where Jesus didn't force anyone saying, whether you like it or not, this is a sin. You're not going to do it. If you do it, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stone you. Like, it was like,
But he was pretty.
To the Pharisees, not to the sinners.
Keep talking.
And it says to love them, right? Which, what is love according to Corinthians? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love holds no record of wrong. Right?
John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Mm. That's not, hey, buddy, like...
No, it's not, but it's like...
It's if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you do not love me. It's pretty black and white.
Yeah, but he's not going to withhold his love from the people who don't listen. And again, I'm saying what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind.
Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Okay, but you're giving the example of God. Explain about Jesus with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Corinthians says, which is love is patient, love is kind, it holds no record of wrong. So they're going to be patient. Okay, this is the vision. The wife agrees, the wife is helping. Of patient, kindness, not holding any record of wrong. Like, well, you just did this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's grace. There's also conviction. And I'm not saying like, oh, let them on. Then I feel like you know when it's grace or versus, what is it? Like cheap grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a word I'm trying to look for. Like done on purpose. And so that's how I think that dynamic should go.
Because here's the thing. Let's scratch our names off of this thing. A man has this vision, and it's a good vision for his wife and his family. And just as a helper, a wife, can see greatness in their man and call it out, and it might come off as nagging. There's the intention of a woman is to push their husband forward. And in the same way, like the man like might resist a little bit, like, ah, no, like, hey, have a little bit of grace on me. Hey, like, how about next week? Hey, you know, like, but usually a woman does not have that type of patience. She goes, no, go do it now. I see that in you today.
I was gonna say the men usually don't say, give me a week. They're just like, no.
Okay.
But
then in that same dynamic, and this is what you were talking about, if you're going to ask somebody to do something, do it first.
Yeah.
If you are going to ask somebody to go into the unknown, if you're going to ask somebody to strive for something that they haven't done before, if you're going to ask somebody to get out of their comfort zone, you too should be doing that. And in that same way, if a man has a vision, whether it's financial vision, a spiritual vision, a health vision, an active vision, whatever, like, easily, like, again, we're in that like very sensitive like culture where it's like, oh no, you're being radical and you're not taking my feelings into consideration. And then you pull out, well, what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Let's take it easy. But then I also, my ears, and I'm sure some people's ears, maybe not everybody's, but some people's ears go like, well, yeah, you aren't comfortable into going into that level of whatever excellence or greatness yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying, let me just keep tasting my old life a little bit. Let me just keep tasting my old life just a little bit. I'm not ready to let it go. I'll act like I'm trying to move forward. And, you know, maybe in a year or two, like, and that's what I'm saying. At what point does a man go, this is what we're doing. And a woman, like, if you're, what you're saying, a woman should submit. And in regards to something that is going to be beneficial to her and her family, it's not something that, oh my gosh, I'm suffering so much because, I don't know, you're taking all my money away, or you're taking, I don't know, like, you're not letting me eat at all. Like, that's totally different. But it's just like, I have this vision for us. We're going this way. Let's go. How do you explain a woman's dynamic in that whole scenario?
In our example, I'm assuming both partners love each other. Both partners take on their role, right? Seriously. Mm-hmm. And like, the woman wants to help the man. And the man, again, loves the woman, right? That's the kind of couple we're talking about.
Sure.
Because in similarly how the Bible calls us to be countercultural and different, where it's not always comfortable. It's not something like, we always say like, if I was God, I would change this. Maybe this doesn't have to be a sinner, right? Like, it's confronting, and it's asks us, how you say, to change. It asks us to step into the unknown. It asks us to be bold, right? If a man's vision aligns with that, and asking the woman or the family to change, to step into the unknown, to be bold, to grow. I see, okay, how does God handle it? And again, I feel like you put the intention of a woman of like a Pharisee. She doesn't want to change. She was going to make the outside look like she's changing, but she doesn't want to. Because I think what Jesus hated about Pharisees, about Pharisees is the heart posture, where it's like you say all the right things, but your heart is far detached. Mm-hmm. Which in the wife, it's no, my heart is in it, which is what sanctification looks like. And we said, God asks you for change. Sanctification is fruit. Like, you have to see fruit. You have to see growth. You can't expect for like holiness to look like Jesus from here on tomorrow. That's why we live in the church, right? Like, he has been patient with the church. He's waiting for the church to be spotless and without blemish. That's going to be the day, right? Sanctification can't be done, but there has to be fruit. It can't just be my heart's not in it. I'm just going to pretend so that my spouse doesn't say anything.
Did Jesus ever say, hey, I'm going to heal you? Or no. Hey, I've healed you. Go try to live your best life.
No, he says sin no more. But when they sin, do you think he's going to offer grace?
And that's where we go into the heart posture, right? Mm-hmm. You just talked about it with the Pharisees, right? And so I go back to the example of a man. A man has a vision. He's like, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Now the ball technically is in the woman's court. What is her heart posture towards what her man that she chose to be her leader? Mm-hmm. What is her heart posture going to be?
It's right? Going to say yes.
Hold on. Yeah. What is the heart posture if she goes, yes, but?
It's not a but. It's saying yes, and I'm going to do the steps to get.
Okay. What's a good example? I have to go back to the food one. I don't know. I can't think of another one off the top of my head, but I'll follow your health thingamabob. But at least at the beginning, just let me have some Chick-fil-A like once a week. What's the heart posture in that? Translate it into Jesus. Okay, cool. You helped me. You saved me. You delivered me. Mm-hmm. You told me to not sin no more. But like, yo, come on. Like, for my life to change that drastically, like just once a week, yo, come on.
Okay, but then you're saying eating Chick-fil-A is a sin. You can't compare the two. To saying like the Samaritan woman, it's like telling the Samaritan woman, okay, you have been set free, right? Like, don't sin anymore. And then she's like, okay, I'm not going to sleep around. It's like, no, don't wear pants, which back then pants weren't worn, so it would have been in a gray area. I don't know. That's a bad excuse. And you're saying like, compared to, okay, he told her not to wear pants. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm too black and white for this. I'm too black and white. I don't think a lot of people are going to relate with me, but.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Like, can I say, like, if I'm being completely black and white, I could be like, yeah, like, I mean, that could be a sin. I mean, why do you need it? Why can't you just eat healthy all the time? Why? And I've seen this many times, and I obviously, like, all my feed is about healthy stuff now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a couple of them that say, like, isn't it crazy that they make the healthy people sound crazy because they're eating food that they should be eating, whereas everyone else is eating garbage, but the weird ones are the ones eating the healthy food when it should be completely 180. It should be the weird ones that eat the junk food and the fast food, and it should be the normal ones that eat the healthy food.
I agree. But I think taking your example, that's like a Pharisee who then becomes, we cannot sin. So then they start putting so much stipulations where they would tell Paul, don't go to that food. It's not sacrificed to God. It's sacrificed to these pagans. Don't you dare touch it. It no longer becomes about the heart posture. It just becomes monitoring. Am I doing what's good or not?
Why would it not be about the heart posture? Because, okay.
Because then you start looking at your...
We are kind of deriving from the topic, but I will say, listen, listen. Done. Okay, fine. Because I love you and because I am a humble and servant leader, I will let you speak.
Because then I feel like the Pharisees, it starts with a heart posture. It starts with the right intention of, like, I want to honor God. I don't want to sin. But then you get to the point of judging that person is a sinner because they didn't do it like me. That person is a sinner. So in your example, then you start looking at your wife. She's going against my vision because she's eating Chick-fil-A. Then you
Which lose, she is.
You lose love for them. When you start monitoring. No, but
that is where you practice. Okay, and that's why I said it's about the heart posture, right? Mm-hmm. And I go back and you didn't answer my question.
What?
Of if a man lays out this plan, this vision, this is what we're you doing.
Didn't let me
and
answer.
A woman goes, yeah, but let me just like... do the opposite one time a week. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be food. It could be money. It could be spiritual, whatever. Like what if a man goes like, I don't want us to drink anymore.
Okay, do you want me to answer that?
No. Hold on. But let me finish now. What is the heart posture of a woman when she goes, oh, let me just like go against that one week, right? Mm. I believe the heart posture right off the hop there is not a correct one.
Correct. I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, okay, and so...
Because she's not in it
listen,
all the way.
Listen. And then when a woman actually has a correct heart posture, I'm trying my best, like...
But fails.
I'm going to say this is freaking hard. This is really hard, but I'm going to try because I know that he has a good vision. I know that is one that's blessed. I know that it's going to benefit us. I know it's going to benefit our bodies, our minds, our souls, our spirits. It's going to just have us align with mm-hmm. God. But I failed. That is when the ball goes into the man's court to practice what Jesus was. And it's like Jesus saw the heart mm-hmm. of people. And that's why people always go like, only me and God, like only God and you know what your heart posture is. And it's true because that's where Jesus then goes like, and that's where I kind of see myself with like the example that I give with Elijah. When he goes, I want a car. And I go like, okay, go work for it. And I see him bust his butt. And he falls short, whatever. And I go like, I saw your heart posture. I saw that you busted your butt. Mm. And I'm going to give it the grace. I'm going to give you the rest of it. Same thing. A woman like, I'm going to try my best. I'm really going to try. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go 10 days, 20 days, whatever. Like, I'm going to go as much as I possibly can. If I fail, boom, the ball goes into the man's court and he gets to practice to be Jesus. I see your heart. I am not going to condemn you for this mm-hmm. one time. I see your heart. I know you. Like, we are one. So I know you. And if you fail, I still am going to love you. And I'm going to encourage you to keep going forward.
I agree. That's exactly what I was going to say. One, that the woman saying yes, but is not fully in it. Then she's not aligned to the vision. And the one who says yes and then fails.
So then I go back to your previous statement, which you said, oh, if a man has a vision or whatever, let's take it to the table and let's discuss it. But what is there to discuss?
How to get to that vision? Because there could be so many different.
Okay, I guess then what I heard with the discuss is, let's find a middle ground, or let's see if there's like a balance or
no.
Or,
it's how are we going to go about accomplishing this vision? Mm-hmm. Are we on the same page, or like defining the vision? Are we on the same page of the vision?
Because that I like okay, and that's where we can continue talking about. I feel like this is going to be a long episode now.
I didn't even realize that we were past but the hour mark.
I feel like that's where you start going into the power shift again.
Yeah,
where it's like no, and especially in the last 5 to 10 years, this has shifted. Where it's like, we're going to discuss it, but you have to take my feelings into consideration. And you know how much I love these things that you're asking me to give up. So there's got to be a middle ground. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to posture.
Correct. I agree. But now let's bag on the... Not bag.
Dang. Oh, you're going to go to the Met now?
The Met. Well, because all of this started with something that I wanted to discuss, which we didn't even talk about. So I'm just going to try to...
Okay, talk about
slide it in here. There was a reel that I sent you, a TikTok.
You should have started with this.
you know which one I'm talking about?
No, right? I have no idea, oh. But you should have started with this.
There is a TikTok that I saw. I don't listen to their podcast. So literally it was like a clip. So I don't know what the good podcast, but it's called Becoming Something. And there was a woman with men, and she was saying how, like, she's really smart, I guess. Like, she knows her Bible knowledge. And when she's dating, and a lot of men get intimidated. They're like, I can't lead this woman.
Oh, I think you showed me
that. Yeah, I still showed you. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. That's why this is a one that kind of like sparked this idea. Yeah,
you should have started with this.
Sorry. But it was a good conversation regardless. So she says the men stop like pursuing her because they're intimidated. And the men think, I need to lead someone, so I need to go to someone who maybe doesn't have Bible knowledge, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of women and men see, okay, I need a leader, especially a lot of women I hear, like, I need a someone who's ahead of me spiritually. And then they start comparing, okay, does he read the Bible like I read it? Does he pray like I pray? Does he know what I know? No, okay, then I'm ahead of him, so this isn't equally yoked. And she was saying, she gave the argument of, like Jesus being a servant leader, he doesn't have to know all the Bible knowledge because the demons know the Bible like front and back. But it's, does he have the posture of a servant leader? Mm-hmm. Is he humble? Does he have a relationship with the Lord? But does he ask questions like Jesus did? Does he, again, serve you? Like how maybe our mind needs to shift of what it looks like for a man to lead. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good thought. And I do feel like men tend to find people that they believe are at least a smidge inferior to them. And that's a fact. Why? Because men are more comfortable with people that they feel that they can control.
So you thought you could control me?
Maybe. Like, but sometimes it's like subconscious. But like, I truly feel like, I feel like that's why she was saying in that video, like, men get to know me and then they walk away. And it's because, like, she knows way more than me. She's way more knowledgeable. I don't have control of this.
Okay, but to spiritually lead, because the man should be the spiritual leader.
Uh-huh.
How does that look like to be a spiritual leader? Because you talked about leading in the vision and leading in food. Mm-hmm. You talked about. What does it look like for a man to be a spiritual leader at the home?
What does it look like for a man to be a spiritual leader? I believe a man should be a prayerful man. The simple fact that a man prays is a man that acknowledges that there is a king above him. So that already shows humility, mm-hmm, that he is going to his king. He's going to his creator. He's having conversations with him. And I'd like to hope that men, when they pray, ask for guidance. They ask for direction. They ask for God to transform their lives each and every day. And I feel like when they truly have that surrender to God, that's when they allow God to do, like, for him to do his thing in his life and his life in the life of his family, right? So that's one. Two, I think for a man to be a leader in his, a spiritual leader in his home, especially if he has kids, is to now pass on faith to their kids. I think he is in charge of that. And I think for our example, for our own life, like I'll say it, like, I mean, you went to Biola and you, that whole reel that you're talking about, like that could have been me, like, oh no, like she went to Biola and she knows, and like that, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, in this whole podcast, you just spit a bunch of like verses at me, like from the top of your head. And I think I spit like one back at you or whatever. Like, and honestly, I was never intimidated by that. I actually welcomed it. And I remember when we first got married, I think it was you who was like the fire starter in regards to like, hey, let's read the Bible. You got our like crew of us and the Clevelands to start reading the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used to go to you for questions. I'm like, well, you went to Biola for this, so answer these questions that I have. But in that regard, you were my helper with pushing me. And I think you've always kind of pushed me. And that's one thing that you've, sometimes I guess you've stayed silent, but in other times you're like, no, it's time for me to say something. And just recently you were like, hey, like, let me hold you accountable. Like, have you been reading the Bible daily? Have you been praying daily? And I was like, no, not really. And you're like, hey, let's read the Bible together. I was like, all right, bet. And but I think a man leading spiritually is a man that is surrendered to God, plain and simple. And you'll see that through prayer. You'll see that through him seeking guidance through the word as well. And then the transformation, the surrender in regards to the transformation, because we are a constant work in progress, especially the ones that we've had like rough childhoods and rough past, like we more than most need a lot of work in us. Mm-hmm. And I think the beauty is in a man to tell his story and for the people to see the change that happens through him surrendering his life to God.
That's good. And I don't think, for example, like I don't think I need you. Or like, I can't survive without you.
Dang, yo.
No, but listen, I don't think you need me. Like you can't survive without me because there are people.
Aww.
I'm trying to make a point here. There are people that are called to singlehood.
Okay.
And I think the only one we really need is God, because I'm not going to be married to you in heaven. I don't need you to survive. I need God. If I don't have him, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Same with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if both the woman and the man don't seek God, we both cannot do our roles. So if I don't seek God, I'm not going to know how to help you. I'm not going to know when I need to be quiet and lead by my actions, or when I need to voice a conversation, when I need to go to therapy, when I need to use my femininity, like I won't know. Or I might use the wrong tool at the wrong time and then get you upset or whatever. In the same way, if the man does not go to God, he might lead his family to nowhere or something that's vain, something that doesn't matter or not know how to get there. And it's so important for him to ask God, God, where are you leading me right now? What should I focus on right now? There's so many places I can go or so many things that are important. What should be the first priority for my family right now?
Mm-hmm.
And move with the seasons. And so I think it's so important because again, if you're not married, which I feel like people listen to this probably at this point would be married, but let's say, God forbid, you're a widow or get divorced, whatever. Like, you can still practice showing the gospel or, like, that leader of, like, seeking Jesus. Like, we all need to seek God and we all need to practice what Jesus came here on earth to do. And so I think it's so important for both our roles to be fulfilled is to go to the source. He's the one who created us. He knows what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so I feel like this conversation could be longer, but that's at the end of it. I think Jesus shows a perfect example of what it looks like to be a leader. And he says for men to love their wife to the point of death, to the point how he served us here on earth, and women are meant to submit, how the church submits. And the Bible says to submit to one another, believers. So again, even single people, even people in the church that are not married, like we have to submit to one another, just how we submit to our pastors and our leaders and government officials. Like it's not just in a marriage, and we can learn so much of God, and I think model God and glorify God if we do what he created us to do, practice humility.
Yeah.
Because it all goes back to humility and servanthood. And so I hope you guys like this conversation. Again, this is due to our 9-year wedding anniversary, which we can't wait to celebrate. And I personally can't wait because I feel like every year it gets better and better. And so I can't wait for when it's 10 and 20 and I like being married to you and we love each other, even though we don't agree sometimes, or we agree, but we just don't know how to say that we agree. And so we kind of go around.
Mm-hmm.
I like figuring it out with you.
9 years of you being my helper. And I don't think I could have asked for a better helper.
Stop, you're gonna make me cry.
Nah, you definitely have made me a better man, a better husband, better father. You've always, something I definitely appreciate about you is that you've always seen the best in me and you've championed that forward. And through our ups and downs, I'm grateful for it all. And I love you with all my heart.
I love you. It's a beautiful way to end. No, and vice versa. I mean, look how I would not be on this fitness journey if it wasn't you leading me. But I feel like you lead me into a better version of myself. You lead me into even learning how to boundaries, and you lead me into like vision. Like you're like, this is who I know you can be. And so go. And you do that for the whole family. You've led us into this beautiful lifestyle we can enjoy. And so I know I wouldn't be here without you. And I love you.
I love you too.
That concludes, because I want to kiss him, our episode. And thank you guys always for your support and your love and reaching out to us. It truly means a lot. And until the next episode, bye.